On Yud Dalet Omer Aleph, by way of introduction, back on Yud Gimel Omer Beis, the Gemara quoted the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, and he holds that in the cases of Shein Varegel, if the Shar was Mazik in a Chatzer Hashutfim that belonged to both the Mazik and the Nizak, the Baal HaMazik is Potter. That's the din of Shein Varegel. And now here on Daf Yud Dalet Omer Aleph, a few lines down from the top, the Gemara asks, Eini, is this so? There's no chiyuv of Shein Varegel in a case of a chotza shutfim. It's got to be ubir b'stei acher, which means a private personal ownership. Is that really true? Okay, Rabbi Loza said it, but Vatani, we have a brisa that was brought by Rav Yosef. And that brisa says that chotzer ashutvim ufondak. Fondak is an inn, some sort of an achsanya for passers-by. And one of the shutvim's shar was mazik, the other shutaf shar, or he was mazik the archim who was staying in this inn. And the brisa paskins chayev bahen al shein v'al regel. On these two avos nezikin, the Baal Ashar Mazik has to pay, even though the Hezik took place in a Chotzer HaShutfim. And this is Tuvta de Rabbi Elazar. This is a contradiction, this Braisa, to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, who says that Shein Vergel Apturim in a Chotzer HaShutfim. In other words, according to this Braisa, as long as there's no situation of Turcha Bershusi my boy, in other words, if there's no Rishus that belongs exclusively to the Mazik, and the Mazik has a right to claim to the Nizak, why did you bring your Shar into my Rishus? I didn't give you permission to do so. You are responsible for that. But if the Nizak had Rishus to go there, because it was a Chotza Shutfim, according to the Brisa that we're learning now, the Brisa of Rav Yosef, you're chayef for that. The Mazik has no counterclaim to exempt himself, and that's against Rabbi Lozo, who requires b'stei acher. It means it has to be exclusively, again, it could be Rishus HaRab, obviously, but it has to be exclusively the Chotzer, the Nizak. Amalachar Rabbi Lozo is going to counter and defend himself. He's going to say, v'tizbra masdisa milo pligi. Is there no machlokas amongst Tanoim? And I can quote you a brisa that argues with this brisa and maintains, as I would have it, that Shein Varegel up turim b'chotza shutfim v'asanya. Here's my brisa. Arba klolos. Klolos with a chaf means klolim. Hoy Rab Shimon ben Elazar Omer. And Rab Elazar, the first of his four klolim in Nizakin, ben Nizakin, is number one, kol shehu rishus la nizak velola mazik chayov bakol. We're going to pick this up a little later on, but basically what's being said over here is that the mazik went into the rishus of the nizak. He had no right to do so, and in such a case, even a keren, which normally pays on the first three negichos, chatzi nezik, here will pay nezik sholim. We'll call it the audacity, the chutzpah of the mazik to enter into the private property of the nizak, and if he caused the damage there, he has to pay nezik sholim, even on the first negicha. We don't differentiate between this chovashmira, that chovashmira, whether it's tam or muad. Now we get to klal number two. Dim mazik. If this case is where the mazik had rishus to go in there, it's his property. Velola nizak, and the nizak had no reason or permission to go into the chotzer mazik, is potter if the mazik damages the shor of the nizak mikol, because the mazik has right to say to the nizak, what right did you have to take your shor into my rishus? Now we get to the third klal, which is the most relevant to us in our discussion. Lazel v'lazel. Let's say both the mazik and the nizak had rights to use and to enter into this rishus. Kigon. And here we have two examples. We have chatzar hashutvim, where both the mazik and the nizak are partners in ownership in this chatzar. Number two, we have habika. Bika is an open area where anyone's allowed to bring his shor in and see if he can graze, if he can find any grass there. In such a case, Potter ba ala shein v'ala regel, with regard to shein v'regel, the Baal Ashar Mazik is Potter, and that would again support the view of Rabbi Lozen that sets up a machlokas astir in two brises. Now, in this Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar brisa, there's a circumscribing of this third klal, and that is al negicha with regard to the av of Karen, which has many toldos to it, val negifa, val neshicha, val arvitz, val bita, all these cases of Karen and its toldos, meaning the animal pushes and does damage, the animal bites, the animal jumps, the animal kicks. In all these cases, tam mishalem chatzi nezek, umuad mishalem nezek sholem, which is exactly identical to the din of Karen Bershus HaRabit, where on the first three negichos you pay chatzi nezek, and subsequently you pay nezek sholem. So it means that even though there's a patur of chatzah shutvim, as far as shein v'regel is concerned, chatzah shutvim is like Rishus HaRabim to be mechayev Karen with, in the case of Tam, chatzi nezek, in the case of Muad, nezek sholem. And by the way, keep in mind that Rabbi Lozo, when he spoke about chatzah shutvim being a ptur, he limits himself to shein v'regel, implying that enochinami Karen would not be potter in a chatzah shutvim. And finally, we get to the fourth of the klolim of Rabbi Shimon Elazar in this price. Lola Zevelozer. If we're talking about an open area, it doesn't belong to anyone in particular. Kigon chotze she'ena shel shneihem is chayiv bo al hashen v'al regel. He'll be chayiv in such a case for shein v'regel. But with regard to Karen al anegicha, anashicha, anegifa, al ravitz, al abito, tom mishalim chatzi nezek, umud mishalim nezek sholem. Meaning, as far as Karen is concerned, chatz hashenu shel shneim has the same status as Shusaram. We go through the chatzi nezek for tam, and the nezek sholem for muad. Exactly what is the case of chatz hashenu shel shneim? Well, we'll have to wait till the Gemara analyzes that. But for the meantime, Katani Mios, the Gemara points out that in the third of the four klolim of Rab Shimon ben Elazar, codified in this price, Chotzer Ashutvim Vabika Potu Al Hashen Vala Regel, and that supports the opinion of Rab Elazar and contradicts the price of Rab Yosef. So we end up with the Machlokas Tanoim, where the Shein Varegel or Chayav or Potu in Rishus, which is called a Chotzer Hashutvim, which means that they both, lazeh, they both have rishus to go in there. The Gemara had explained that according to Rabbi Elazar, these two brisos are arguing, and Rabbi Elazar himself paskins like the second brisa. Now the Gemara is going to offer the possibility of reconciling the two brisos. There's no necessity to insist that there is a contradiction and a debate between the two brisos. Kasha ahadadi. The Gemara says, do you assume that the brisos contradict each other? The brisa of Rabbi Yosef that says that Shein v'regel achayiv and chotzah shut, the brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that patters you for Shein v'regel and chotzah shutvim. Ki sanya hahi. The brisa of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that says Shein v'regel apatur b'chotzah shutvim b'chotzer miuchedes lazev lazeh. The case here in the third klal of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, where he patters you from Shein v'regel and a chotzah shutvim, that's the case of a chotzer that's miuchedes or miuedes lazev lazeh for both mazik and nizak, bein leperos, bein leshvarim. That's the case where we patter you in that brisa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Hahi, but the brisa of Yosef, which says yechay for shein v'regel and a chotzer shutvim, that's bechotzer amiuchedes leperos, v'ein amiuchedes leshvarim, delegabishein, and of course regel as well. Havile chotzer hanizak. Now again, this ukimta, to differentiate between the two brises and specifically the cases that the brises are addressing, how does that reflect itself in the language of the two brises? Just to come up with this limitation rule and say that the brise of Rav Yosef that says that Yechayev v'chotzah should fit in the shame v'regel, that's only a case where it's miuedes l'peros, you're allowed to bring peros in there, both the malzik and the nizak, both are shutfim in the peros, but it's not miuchedes l'shvarim, and there's an agreement here that no one will bring shvarim in there. Shvarim are much more aggressive and large animals, hard to watch them. And therefore, as far as Shein V'Regel is concerned, we're talking about a situation which is equivalent to Chatzer HaNizak. Since again, the Nizak is allowed to put his Peros there, the Mazik on the other hand is not allowed to bring his Shvarim there, in such a case, there is a Chiyuv for Shein V'Regel. Again, only for Shein V'Regel. And the brisa that we began with over here, meaning the brisa of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, that's a case of a chotzer miuedes leperos ulishvarim. And therefore both the mazik and the nizik are allowed to go in there with peros, with shvarim. It's really like an open kind of chatzer, an open kind of field. It's open called dichven, anyone could come in. That's called the Rishus HaRabim. And in Shein V'Regel, we have halach that Shein V'Regel are pturin Rishus HaRabim. In effect, Shein V'Regel are chayev only where you had no right to do that. Everyone has rights to bring his animals into Rishus HaRabim and expect that it's possible they may eat, they may stomp on something. That's the tour of Shein V'Regel B'Shus HaRabim, and we had this back at the beginning of the first parak. So we have no problem in the case of Rav Shimon ben Elazar's brisa to equate this with B'Shus HaRabim and engender the tour of Shein V'Regel, because again, it's a carte blanche, it's an open place, there's Rishus for everybody to go in there and bring their peros, bring their shvarim, there are no limitations. But in the brisa of Rav Yosef, where the brisa assumes that in this chotzer shel ashutfim, there will be a din of chiyuv, it means that chotzer is, even though it's got shutfim, it's not equivalent to a shus harabim. That's a case where the mazik had no right to bring his shor into this rishus. Again, if that be the case, if we're being very limiting, and again, we're bringing a harsh argument against the mazik. We're being very limiting about his ability to use this chatzer, because even though the chatzer is a chatzer shutfis, the agreement of the shutfim is that no shvarim allowed. As we said before, a shar is potentially a very belligerent animal. But with regard to Shein V'Regel, what are we going to say in this regard? This chatzer is going to be considered chatzer hanizak. And therefore, if the Shein V'Regel are mazik, the peros of Ploni, of the nizak, who has rights to bring his peros into that chatzer shutfim, he's also a shutuf. And the agreement between the two shutfim is that you're allowed to bring your peros there. Oh, if that be the case, it's not like a rishus harabim, and I'll prove it to you from the fact that the mazik is not allowed to bring his shor in there, because the agreement between these two shutfim is no shvarim allowed, as we said before. So the nizak has a right to bring his peros there. The mazik has no right to bring his shor there. If the mazik brings his shor there, and there's a hezek of Shein V'Regel, then it makes sense, and even Reb Elazar Reb Shimon would agree to this, that there will be a chiv to pay for Shein V'Regel. It's not again Erishus HaRabim where Shein V'Regel is potur, because, you know, everybody has the right to bring their shvarim there, and therefore I'm not going to hold the Baal Shein V'Regel responsible for Nizkei Shein V'Regel. But here, where the chatzar as far as shvarim is considered chatzar, like a chatzar nizak, meaning that the mazik had no right to bring his shor there, then he has to pay
for any damages done by that shor, including shein v'regel. Now, where do we see this hinted in the Lashon HaBraisa? Deka, Nami, the Gemara says this teretz is very much reflective of a careful, meticulous reading of the text of the Braisa. So it's the Ketani Acha. In the Braisa of Rav Yosef, where Yechayef in this case, Shem Vregel and Chotza Shutfim, it says, Chotza Shutfim Vehafundak. And let's assume that this is all one, or there's a certain basic similarity between the two. So you've got Chotza Shutfim Dumya Defundak. Now let's think about this fundak. Obviously you have business people, merchants, who come to rest in the fundak. And what do? Are they going to bring their animals into this inn? Everybody's bringing schora, everybody's bringing merchandise in there. It's very precarious to bring a shor into a fundak. And therefore, this case of Chatzar HaShutfim in the Funduk, or in the Chatzar HaShutfim Dumya the Funduk of the Braisa of Yosef, is a case where those who occupy the Funduk have rights to bring in Peros, but they have no rights to bring in Shvarim. And that's why the Baal HaShor will be Chayev, even for Nizokin of Shein V'Regel. And Rav Shimon Lozu has no problem with that. But what about the Idoch Braisa? What about Ketani Asam, the Braisa of Rav Shimon Elazar, where you put of a Shein V'Regel and a Chatzah Shutfim? There it says Chatzah Shutfim V'Abika. It doesn't say Fundok, but rather it says Bika, which means now the analogy is between a Chatzah Shutfim and Dumya de Bika. Bika is a place where everybody could come in any way. It's purely Hefker, it's like a Rishus HaRabim. Anyone could come in there to graze their animals there, and therefore the p'tur of Shein V'Regel is applicable, like it's applicable to any Rishus HaRab. If you give me rights to bring my shor there, in the case of Shein V'Regel, I'm not chayev for those nezikin. And the same thing applies to a bika, or for that matter, Chatzah Shutfim Dumya de Bika, where the agreement between the two shutfim is such that anybody could bring either one of the shutfim could bring their animals in there. Shma mina. This would support our teretz to reconcile the contradiction between the two prices. And there's a chotzer shneim, where you could bring in both peres and shvarim, that has halacha of Rishus HaRab and Shein V'Regel p'torim. There's a chotzer shel shneim, where there's only rishus to bring in peres. Nobody, neither of the shutfim, have the green light to bring in shvarim, and therefore you could be chayev for Shein V'Regel, according to everyone. Rav Shimon Belozer would agree. Now, at this point in the sugya, you know, we have to admit that we're very excited here. There's a solid approach here to reconcile the theory of the two brises. But to our chagrin, Rav Zeira is not happy with it. Maskif la Rabbi Zeira. Kevon demiuchedes leperos. Habi'inon ubir bistei acher v'leka. What are you telling me? You're telling me that since both shutfim are allowed to bring their peros there, it's dumya. It's dumya. The rishus harabim. Therefore, there should be a ptur. Wait a second. The Torah says that yichayev hashen v'regel and ubir b'stei acher. The nezek was caused. The damage occurred in a stei acher, and that's coming to exclude the chotzer of the mazik, the leka. Here in this case, you cannot be mekayim, so to speak, this pasuk of ubir b'steyach. The chotzer is belongs to the mazik and not just to the nizak. Haraya, the mazik is allowed to bring his peros there. That's not called stay acher. Stay acher means one person, to the exclusion of the mazik. But here, the mazik is allowed to go in there at least to bring his peros. That's not called stay acher. So at this point in Rav Zera's argument, we're not willing to split between between Peros and Shvarim. Did he have rights to take his Shvarim there? He did not. Let's talk about Ubir B'Stei Acher. And once again, according to Abzera's logic, the Chatz of Yeretz LePeros, which means that even the Mazik is allowed to go in there with his Peros, he has access and license to use this Chatz there. Is then how can you possibly say that there should be a chiyuv for Shein Veregel, which was again the price of Rav Yosef, because, you know, what is the mazik doing there? Well, the answer is it's still not Ubir B'Stei Acher. Omale Abai turns to Rav Zeir and he says, Kevon di Einam Yuedes Lishvarim, the mazik has no right to bring his shar inside, is Steyacher Karinimbe. We can consider this Chatzer Steyacher because Steyacher means that the Mazik has no right to go in there. And in this case, certainly it does qualify as a Steyacher because the Mazik has no right to go in there. So this is how the Gemara Baruch Hashem, and we're very excited about this, defends and protects the integrity of this Teretz and the reconciliation of the two brises. Now, the Gemara before had reconciled the stira, the contradiction between the brises, with regard to Shein Veregel, in the case of Chatzar Shutfim, by analyzing a Chatzar which is only Miucheres LePeros, and everyone has Rishus for Peros, no one has Rishus for Shvarim, and in that case, the Mazik will have to pay because he had no right to bring his Shor in there, as opposed to the other Brisa, which is a Rishus HaMiyuchedes LePeros LeShvarim, and that is the same status as Rishus HaRamim, and therefore the Mazik of Shein Veregel is Potur. Now the Gemara tries to clarify if in this direction we could suggest that there's no machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Elazar. If you remember back in yesterday's Shiur Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, there was a machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Elazar about whether Shein Veregel are chayev in a chatzah shutvim. Amalei Rav Acha midifti liravina, lema midabasnisa lo pligi, amoroi nami lo pligi. Perhaps we could suggest, in order to reconcile Rav Chisda with Rav Elazar, that each one is talking about a different scenario of Chatzar Shutfim, a different category of Chatzar Shutfim. Rav Chisda, who says, Yechayev for Shein Veregel and Chatzar Shutfim, he's talking about a case where the Mazik had no right to bring his Shar inside there. That's why he has to pay for Shein Veregel. It's not similar to Erishus HaRabin. That's the Chatzar Shutfim LePeros, but lo LeShvarim. Makes sense that the Chatzar Shutfim has the same status as Shusha Yochid, to be Machai for Shein Veregel, whereas maybe Rabbi Lazar, when he says that you're part of a Shein Veregel and Chatzar Shutfim, he's talking about a different kind of Chatzar Shutfim, with the Shutfim for both Peros and Shvarim. And that's what Rav Acha wanted to suggest to Ravina. Omar Leis, so Ravina returns to Rav Acha, and he says, it's quite possible that there's no machlokas. Each one, Rav Elazar and Rav Chisda, is addressing a different kind of chatzar shufim. V'yimtim salomar pligi. And if you will insist that they are arguing, we could also suggest that they're not arguing in every single case of chatzar shufim, but rather they're arguing in the case of a chatzim yuchedes leperos v'lo l'shvarim. And here we go back to the logic, if you recall, of Rabbi Zeira. Ubekushya de Rabbi Zeira, ubeperuka de Abaye pligi. The machlokas revolves around the svaris of, respectively, of Rabbi Zeira and Abaye, Rabbi Zeira in the Kasha and Abaye in the Teretz. Which would mean to say that Rabbi Elazar, who patas the Shein Veregel and chatzah shutfim, he accepts the logic of Rabbi Zeira, that Chatzar Shutfis, which is only for Peros, that's already considered Rishus HaRabim and Yipot for Shein Veregel. That logic of Rabbi Zeir that was based on the pasuk Ubir Bistei Acher. You need a stay Acher. This is not called a stay Acher, and therefore it's Potur for Shein Varegel. Rav Chizda, on the other hand, holds like the shlug up of Abaye, who rejects the logic of Rabbi Zeir, that once the Mazik has an Isa to bring his Shvarim in there, that already becomes a Chatzar Nizak. So again, whereas Rabbi Lazar accepting this for Rabbi Zeir cannot define this chatzar as the chatzar nizak, because the mazik also has rights to bring his fruits in at least. Rabbi Chizda accepting the counter argument of Abaye thinks that the logic here dictates that this is a chatzar nizak. There is a chiyuv of shein v'regel in this case, and the reason for that is because the mazik had no right to bring his shor in there, which is really what Chatzar Nizak is all about. The mechayev here is what is your shor, Mr. Mazik, doing in my chatzar? But eino chinami, in the case of a chatzar that would be a classical shutvistika chatzar, meaning that it's for both of them, for both Peres and Shvarim, everyone agree that makes into Sarab and your potter for Shein Varegel. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the brisa of Rav Shim ben Elazar. Gufa. Arba klolos hay Rav Shim ben Elazar ben Izakin. We had four different rules or principles that govern the laws of Nizakin, according to Rav Shim. The first one is kol shu rishus la nizak v'lo la mazik chayav bakol. If the nizak has rishus to go in, it's his private property, the mazik has no right to go in there, then clearly the mazik is going to be chayev. Why? What right does he have to enter in there? And the phrase chayev ala kol is a very interesting phrase, and the Gemara is going to make a big deal about it. Again, chayev bakol, not chayev ala kol, but bakol. And the Gemara says, what does this mean? Bakol, ala kol, loktani, ela chayev bakol. And the Gemara says that nuance of a difference in omitting the word ala kol would indicate in a general sense, yichayev for all the mazikim, shein, regel, keren, but each one according to dinim. No, he leaves out the word ala kol. You're not chayev for all the mazikim and all the avos, but rather you're chayev bakol in the entire nezek, bekule nezek, which means that there's a gevaldige chiddush here of this tana of Rab Shimon, who wants to suggest now a breakthrough halacha, namely that the whole distinction between tam and muad with regard to keren, and that means chatzi nezek versus nezek sholem, that only applies to rishus harabim, but in a case of Rishus HaNizak, correct? That's the case we're talking about, Rishus HaNizak for Lola Mazik. And this very bad guy lets his shor go into the chotzer of the Nizak, where there's no Rishus to go there. In such a case, there's a chiv of Nezek Sholem immediately on the first Negicha, Mani. Where is the source amongst the Tanoim for this breakthrough sheet of Reb Shimon? And the answer is Rabbi Tarfani the Omar. We have a Mishnah later on in Chav Dalid, Mishuna Keren Bechatzara Nizak Nezek Sholem Mishalem. Namely, if the Nezek of Keren took place in the Chatzara Nizak, then even though it's Mishuna usually means it's unusual, because again we're talking about an animal that attacks belligerently with an Egicha, etc. in Keren, and we usually lower the price of compensation to Chatzi Nezek. But here, that he enters into the Chatzar Nizak, he pays Nezek Sholem. He doesn't have the right, the luxury of getting off with Chatzi Nezek on the first three Negichas, unless the Nezek happened in Rishus Haram. But here it happened in the Rishus HaNizak. And Rabbi Tarfon, later on, derives this conclusion from a Kal Vachomer. Uma Bershus Harabim Sheikela Torah al Shein Varegel Pachasagamech Mir Torah al Keren. Even though Shein Varegel Torah was very lenient with regard to Rishus Harabim, but when it comes to Keren, the Torah is not going to be lenient, is then Keren is always one step above Shein V'Regel. It's more chomer than Shein V'Regel. It's B'shus HaNizak, where the Torah says that Shein V'Regel is Chayiv Nezek Sholim. Kol Shekein Keren has to be Chayiv Nezek Sholim, and the distinction between Shar Tam and Shar Muad is irrelevant. Again, the Chachamim rejected Rabbi Tarfon and his Kalvachom because the Dayal of Oven Adin Leos Kenodin. You can't postulate a Kalvachomer where the Kalvachomer would give us more than the Ikar Chiv itself. In other words, what's the Chomer here? The Chomer here is Keren. And Keren Rishus Aram only pays Chatzi Nezik, the first three Negichos. So therefore, even in the Rishus HaNizak, it should only pay Chatzi Nizak, Chatzi Nezik. Nezek. In Rishus HaNizak, it should pay only Chatzi Nezek. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha. If you want to assume that the Braisa holds like Rabbi Tarfon, for name of Seifa, how are we going to explain the Seifa, which means the fourth klal of this series of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Lola ze velola ze. Kigon chotzer she'eino shel shneyem, chayev ba al ha'shein v'al ha'regel. So let's go through two stages. First, let's clarify exactly what it means, this chotzer she'eino shel shneyem. And then we'll talk about shein v'regel, we'll talk about keren. We'll go into the details, whether there's a distinction of tam, muad, nezek sholem. Ilema, if we assume that chotzer she'ena shel shneihem, in other words, it has no shaychus lola zev lola zeh, is lola zev lola zeh klal eladi acher? No, neither the mazik nor the nizak, Reuven nor Shimon have any relationship to this chotzer. The chotzer belongs to Levi, who's the third party. He's not the Mazik, he's not the Nizak. And now the Nizak put his peiros there, and he never got the green light from Levi, the owner of the Chotzer. Now the Shar of Reuven, the Mazik, has no rishus, of course, to enter into Levi's Chotzer, and he goes in there and he eats the peiros of Shimon. Says the Gemara, that cannot be. Why? For Be'ino, we need a pasuk who beer b'steyacher to say that Reuven Shar is chayef for Shein by eating Shimon's peros in the Rishus of Levi. That's impossible, because the Torah says you're only chayef for ubir b'steyacher, means the sod of the nizak, v'leka, the yisoda yisodas of the machayef of Shein v'regel, is that the Nizak says to the Mazik, what were you doing in my Rishus? Well, he can't say that in this case, because what were the Nizak's parents doing in the Rishus of Levi? El Pshita, therefore, by process of elimination, we're going to have to assume Lola Zev, Lola Zev means that although the Chotzer is not owned by both of the Mazik and the Nizak, El Adachad, it's only owned by one of them, which means it's owned by the Nizak. And in this case, in Klal number 4, Rav Shimon says that Chayev ba al ha'shein v'al ha'regel, because it's the chotzer of the Nizak. Again, it's a little bit strange, says the Rashba, that in a chotzer that belongs exclusively to the Nizak, the Brice would use the term lola zeh v'lola zeh. But be that as it may, the Gemara says Ela Dechad. Oh, now we're ready for the kasha. Uktani Seifa, in this klal number 4, it says, Tam Mishalim Chatzi Nezik, Mu'ud Mishalim Nezik Sholim. That could not possibly reconcile with Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon holds that if the Shor goes into the Chotzer Nizak, then in the case of Keren, he's going to have to pay Nezik Sholim, even if he's a Shor Tam. Is Ason L'Rabbonon? The Amri Mishuna Keren B'Chatzar Nizak Chatzi Nezek Hu D'Mishalim. In other words, Keren, in the case of a Chatzar Nizak, just like in Rishus HaRabim, pays Chatzi Nezek in the case of a short tam. So how can you now author or attribute the authorship of the first of the four klalim to the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, when in the very same set of klalim in the fourth klal, you're reflecting the sheet of Rabbanan against Rabbi Tarfon? There's no integrity to this price. A reisha Rabbi Tarfon, a sefer Rabbanan, it can't be. So the Gemara says, you know what? It's not so terrible to assume that the reisha reflects the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon and the sefer that of Rabbanan. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that that's not something to lose sleep over. That's not something so difficult. To Omar Lei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is with regard to a Mishnah later on in Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was called Shinina. Shinina means a very sharp mind. That's how Shmuel used to address Rabbi Yehuda. Shvok Masnisen Visa Abbas Roysa Abbas Roy Reisha Rabbi Tarfon V'Seifa Rabbanan. In other words, why are you working so hard? That's what Shmuel asked Rabbi Yehuda. In that particular sugya, we're not into that sugya, but just to get the general feeling, you're working overtime in order to reconcile this Mishnah and assume that one Tana wrote the Mishnah. It's very possible. Tar Basrei means follow my lead, and say like I say, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon, say for Rabbanan. And just like that Mishnah later on in Tesvav is going to be assumed, according to Shmuel, to be authored by two different Shitos, Rabbi Tarfon the Reisha and Rabbanan the Sefer, we can say the same thing about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in the four Klolim here in this price, so that it's not four different types of a Chatzar Shutfim. And rather, the Klal Arishon and the Klal Revi'i are both talking about a chotzer that belongs to the Nizak. The Klal Arishon reflects the Shita Rabbi Tarfon, and already on the first Negicha, the Baal Hamazik has to pay Nezik Shalem. The fourth Klal, in the same case of a chotzer that belongs to the Nizak, is authored by the Chachamim, and therefore, the halacha is that a Tam pays Chatzi Nezik. Now the Gemara wants to give another possible reconciliation in this brisa of Rav Shimon ben Elazar between the first and the fourth klal. Ravina b'shmei de Rava Amar, Kula Rabbi Tarfon he, Enochinami, not only the Reisha but also the Sefer is authored by Rabbi Tarfon. Umayim, what does it mean in the fourth klal? Lo ze leperos, Ela dechad. It means that they're not shutfim as far as bringing peros into this chotzer's concern. In other words, the chotzer is not mishutefes l'shneim for achnosis peros, ela dechad. Only the nizak is allowed to bring his peros into this chotzer. That's the nature of the agreement. Laze laze l'shvarim. What does the fourth klal mean when it says lo zeva zeva lo velo la zeva zeh? It assumed that lo la zeva lo zeh in the fourth klal either means that both the mazik and the nizak are out, or the mazik is out and it's rishus and nizak. Now the Gemara is suggesting that it's a split personality here. This lo la zeva lo zeh. On the one end, only the Nizak has rights to bring his peros there, but as far as Shvarim is concerned, again, a strange kind of agreement, mind you, it's Lazer Ulazer, meaning both the Mazik and the Nizak have rights to bring in Shvarim. So now, with regard to Legabi Shein, Havilei, Chotza Nizak, as far as Shein is concerned, the law would be that you're chayv to pay damages. The Baal Hashein is chayv to pay damages because this chotzer has the same identical status as the chotzer on Nizak. Because again, only the Nizak has rights to bring in his payers there. But as far as Keren is concerned, since the Baal Hamazik, the Baal HaKeren, has rights to bring his shor into this chotzer, Havilei Rishus HaRabim, it becomes like Rishus HaRabim. And Keren is chayev, even according to Rabbi Tarfon, only a chatzi nezik v'shus harabim. Again, Rabbi Tarfon's chiddush of nezik sholim in the first three negichos was only in the chotzer hanizak, but in v'shus harabim, that's where the Torah formulated the distinction between keren and tama, that pays only chatzi nezik. And therefore, we can say that both the resha, the first klal, and the sefer, the fourth klal, is authored by and reflects the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. In the first klal, we're talking about Rishus Lanizak, and therefore, since Rishus Lanizak, the Baal HaKeren pays Nezek Sholim on the first Negicha. But in the fourth Klal, we're talking about a case where both the Mazik and the Nizak have Rishus, as far as Shvarim is concerned. So even though there's going to be a Chiyuv of Shein V'Regel in this case, and that's because only the Nizak has rights to bring his peros there. But nevertheless, as far as Keren is concerned, it's going to be treated as a Rishus HaRabim. And insofar as it's a Rishus HaRabim, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that the maximum payment is Chatzi Nezik for the first three Negichos. The real problem with understanding this sugya is raised by Rabbeinu Tam here in Tosfos Dibur Maaskeh Lo Lazeh, namely, how could you say that since only the Nizak has rights to bring peros, to put his peros down in this chotzer, therefore there's going to be a chiv of shame? After all, the Torah says, "Ubir b'steyacher," and that's not fulfilled here in this scenario, because the Mazik is allowed to bring his shor inside there. Once the Mazik is allowed to bring his shor inside this chotzer, then ipso facto, there is no chiyuv shein, because the exclusion of stay acher v'lo rishus haram, the p'tur of shein rishus haram, is predicated on the fact that the mazik has rights to bring his shor there. Here, in this scenario of lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, the mazik has rights to bring his shor there. How could it possibly be, therefore, that there's a chiyuv of regel? And based on this kasha, Rabbeinu Tam has to change the entire girsa of Lola Zeva Lola Zela Shvarim, which means that both of them are excluded, are enjoined from bringing Shvarim there. The Nizak has rights to bring Peros there. And if that be the case, where is the Shutfis? The Shutfis is in some other dimension, but therefore in this case, Shein V'Regel, the Mazik is going to be Chayev, because he's not allowed to bring his Shvarim there. And that makes it into a stayacher. As far as Karen is concerned, it has an identical din as Rishus HaRabim, because neither of them have rights to bring their shor there. So again, in Rabbeinu Tam's girsa, it's lola zeva lola zela shvarim, and both of them are enjoined from bringing shvarim into that rishus. And therefore, even Rabbi Taf would agree, as far as the nezek, as far as the tashlum and nezikin of Karen in a case of tama, he would have to pay Chatzi Nezik and no more than Chatzi Nezik, maximum Chatzi Nezik, because since he's allowed to bring his shor there, it becomes like the classical case of the Torah of Rishus HaRabim. So as we indicated before, this whole sugya will require a real in-depth analysis based on this machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and you know, especially tricky here is to defend Rashi's interpretation of the sugya against the onslaughts of Rabbeinu Tam, because to say that, you know, the mazik has rishus to bring his shor in there, and then turn around and say, when the mazik brings his shor into that chotzer shel shneim, he has to pay damages of regel, excuse me, of shame, that needs a great deal of support and analysis. In any event, the Gemara now asks the following kasha. Ihochi, why was it necessary for four klolim? Shlosha havu. Really, there are three klolim, meaning the dinim that are included in the fourth klal were already established in the first three klolim. The fourth klal doesn't really add anything, because as far as Shein is concerned, this is a chotzer shel nizak. And that was already the klal rishon, that Shein is chayav b'chotzer nizak. Legabi Karen is concerned,
this chatzav shus harabim, because they both have rishus to bring their shvarim there. And we already had the klal shlishi that Karen is chayv shus harabim. The Gemara answers Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, and here we turn to Daf Yudalit Amid Beis. Shlosha klolos. Really, in effect, you're right. There are only three klolos, but the arba makomos, it means that besides the three kinds of reshuyos that we spoke about in chiluke dinim, there are really four chiluke dinim. Because with regard to shein veregel, the din of kirshus hanizak, legabi keren, it's the din of kirshus harabim, and that's called a reshus hamiyuchedes lishneim lishvarim. And for the nizak, it's only for peros. So in each one of the three klolim, we have absolute. We have absolute chiyuv for this, absolute ptur. You know, it's reshus hanizak, then you pay for shem v'regel. If reshus lishneim, part of shem v'regel, chay for keren, but you only pay chatzin ezek. If it's reshus the nizak, then the shor keren pays nezek shalim ready in the first degi, because everything is clear and separate. But the arba makomos means that with regard to the fourth scenario, because the way we split it up, then on the one hand that rishus has a din of chatzar nizak, such that the baal hashar has to pay for keren and shein v'regel, excuse me, shein v'regel I meant to say. But on the other hand, it has at the same time the din, the status of rishus harabim, and keren will pay chatzi nezek. So that hybrid situation is what generated the fourth klal. Now we begin the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnahs, we discussed the chiyuv on the mazik. And now the Mishnah goes on to speak about shum kesef. And these are the eight dinim that apply to Tashlumei HaNezek. So we've already established in the previous Mishnahs the Chiyuv on the Mazik to pay, but now the question is, how does he pay? And the first din is the din of Shum Kesef, which means that when we evaluate the Nezek, it's going to be evaluated in terms of Kesef. That's what the Mazik has to pay. Shava Kesef, the mazik has to pay up. This is the second din with something that's shav kesef. Let's say karka. Number three, bifnei bezdin, vlp edov. You can't be mechayev of the mazik to pay unless there are two edim that saw and testified to the effect that there's enough reason here to be mechayev the mazik because mamono hezik, and that's going to be accepted, these edim, by bezdin. Then we go on, B'nei Chorin, B'nei Bris, V'anoshim B'chlal HaNezek. So when do you pay damages? When, as we said before, the Edom testify that you have to pay damages. Who are these Edom? These Edom have to be B'nei Chori. An Eved is Posseliatus. B'nei Bris, it's got to be a Jew, because a Goy is Posseliatus. Noshim b'chlal nezek. In other words, the laws of nezikin apply to women as well as they apply to men. So in other words, if the woman was the victim of a nezek, she collects as a nizak. If she was on the offensive side, her mama was mazik, then she has to pay. V'nizak v'mazik v'tashlumin. And sometimes both the nizik and the mazik will share in the tashlumin, meaning the mazik doesn't pay the entire nezek. The nizak is going to have to lose half the nezek. And the Gemara is going to explain what that's all about. It sounds like the case of Shor Tam, or alternatively, it could be the halacha of Pchas Nevela, because if you recall, we came to the conclusion that the mazik only pays the discrepancy, the difference between the nevela and the live shor. The Nevel itself is that's the partnership, so to speak, the contribution of the Nezek, of the Nizak, in this whole Tashlumi Nezek. He's got to deal with the carcass. The Gaon wants to suggest that when it says HaNizak V'Amazik V'Tashlumin, it's referring to the case of Isha. And if this woman is single, she's unmarried, then HaNizak V'Amazik means if she's the Mazik, then she has to pay. If she's the Nizak, if her Shar was damaged by someone else, then that Mazik, the Baal Shar, has to pay her the Nezek. And that's just an extension of Noshim V'Chal HaNezek. The Gemara says the following. My Shum Kesef. On Rabbi Yehuda, Shum Zeh, that's the Shuma, when Bezin evaluates the Nezek, the loss, the damage. Lo Yehei El B'Kesef. What does this mean? So in order to understand what we're coming to exclude, we're going to read the Braisa. Taninu Laha to Tana Rabbanan. And what's going to be the subject of this Braisa? This is going to be an indication of what Lo Yehei El B'Kesef is all about. The Braisa says the following. Para Sheizika Talis. So let's assume that this cow stepped on a talis, and now it was, shall we say, ripped up into shreds. And the way Rashi learns it here, we're talking about Nizke Regel. That's called Drisa ala talis, B'derech Hilucha. And if that be the case, we're definitely talking about Chatzero Shel Bala Talis. It's got to be the Chatzar Nizak, because there's no Chiv of Regel and Rishus Arabim, only in Chatzar Nizak. And there's a long discussion about why Rashi didn't interpret this Braisa as referring to a case of Karen, and therefore could be in Rishus HaRabim. Instead, Rashi says it's Regel, therefore it has to be in the Chotzer of the Nizak, the Baal HaTalis. Then the Braisa continues and says, Vitalis Shizika Para. You could have a flip side case. Let's say a person leaves a talis in Rishus HaRabim and a para trips on the talis. That becomes the mazik of bar. That's the way Rashi seems to indicate here. And Ein Omrim Teitze Par B'talis. You might have a hamina to assume that if, let's say, there was a possibility for Bezdin to take the para sheizika and give it to the Nizak, and that could be a replacement, a compensation for the talis that got destroyed, or the other way around. Well, we'll get to that case in just a minute, but let's, speaking again about the case where the para was the mazekes, mazika, then let's say the para was worth a lot more than the value of the Nezek. It doesn't matter. Nevertheless, we could say Teitze Para B'Talis. Again, because the Mazik is going to lose in this scenario, and the Nizak is going to gain. He ends up with a Para as an exchange, as a replacement for Talis, and the Para is worth that much more. This is all the Havamin of called Teitze Para B'Talis. Now, the same Havamin that we could have had was Teitze Talis Bipara. Right? Let's say the Para tripped on the Talis, and it was a very, very expensive Talis. Maybe it was an antique Talis. Maybe we could even prove that it was once owned and used by Rav Kiveger 150 years ago. So the talis, or maybe it's got a gold Torah, the talis is worth more than the para in this case. And we might think that, you know what, if the talis was responsible for the damage of the para, even though the talus is worth more, let the Baal HaPara collect the talus. Ella, but rather, Shomin Osa Bedamim. What we do is, Bezin is going to evaluate the Nezek, and in terms of dollars and cents, and that's exactly what the Mazik is going to have to pay. Now, Tosis writes here, Divrei Maskil, part in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and this you'll find also in the Rashba, that it's very hard to imagine that the Chiddush of Ab Mishnah is lafuki, that we shouldn't say that we'll take the Parah and use that as Tashlumi Nezek, or take the Talus as Tashlumi Nezek, even though one was worth more than the Nezek. If we're talking about Nizke, Regel, and Bar, which the Chara were talking about, these Nizakim only pay for the goof of the Mazik. And therefore, it doesn't make sense that unique Zeres HaKos that applies to Shartam, that the Mazik collects from the Shar itself, Migufo, that should apply in cases other than Keren, for example, Regel or Bar. So therefore, this shot of Rashi in the Sugi is considered difficult. Rabbeinu Tam is going to offer a different shot, that we're talking about a case of a para shezika talis al yidei be'ita, which means we're talking about keren. If we're talking about a keren here, that's a whole different story. Now the Mishnah is being mechadesh that even though there's halach in Shartan that's mishtal migufo, it doesn't mean that the nizak is zoche in the guf hamazik, or I should say chatzi nezik of the guf hamazik in the case of the para. But rather, we're going to evaluate the Nezek and then collect half of it from the Para. We're not going to take the Para, evaluate the Para, and say that the Shar HaMazik, the Shar Tam HaMazik is going to pay half the value of the Para. Do you see the difference? See, in the Havamina, we would say, well, there's a Din of Migufo, an absolute Migufo. If the Para is worth 1,000, let the Niza collect 500. That's Chatzi Nezek. In the Maskana, we're saying is no. Shum Kesef. We're going to evaluate the Nezek in terms of money. And if the value of the Hezek is, let's say, 100, then we split that in half. And that's what the owner of the Shar HaMazik will have to pay to the Nizak. But look at that Shar Tam is Mishtal Migufo. It doesn't mean that you actually collect half of the goof of the Shar Tam, but rather what it means is that we evaluate the damage in abstract currency, in cash value, and then you pay half of that, the Shar Tam pays half of that. There's no zchi in the guf HaShar. And this is all based on Rabbi Akiva later on in Daf Lamed Gimel. And the concept called Ein Omrim Teitzei Par Vitalis, if let's say half of the Nezek is equal to the entire value of the para, we don't say that he takes the para as collection for the chov, for the tashlumei nezek. In any event, getting back to the sugi itself, we have now shava kesef in the Mishnah. Okay? So again, the last line is Shomin Osa Bedamim, and then he pays half the Nezek. Now, what's Shava Kesef? Tana Rabbanon, the Tana Rabbanon, Shava Kesef Malamed Shein Bezdin is Kalkim Elin Nechasim Sheish Lamachrayus. Now, we've already learned in the past that Nechasim Sheish Lamachrayus is identical to Karka, and you don't collect, meaning the Nizak does not collect from the Mazik on metaltalin. So when Bezdin forces a payment, that collection is done from karka, not from metaltalin. Avlim kodam nizak v'tofas metaltalin Bezdin govin lo mehen. According to this brisa, and this is a chiddush, that if the nizak already collected, he grabbed the metaltalin from the mazik on his own, you know, he took the law into his hands, then Bezdin are not going to force him to cough up those metaltalin, but rather those metaltalin will be evaluated as payment for the nezek.
Omar Mar, now the Gemara wants to explain this price. Says Shove Kes Malavichain Business Kokel in Khosum Shiesh Lahem Achrayus, my mashma. How does the Brisa see this in the phrase Shove Kesef? What's the connection between Shove Kesef and Karka? Omar Rabba Bar Ula Dovra Shove Kol Kesef. Shove Kesef means that people pay Tmura, you know, for this object, any amount of money, even more than its value. Mind you, what does that mean? That means the halacha would recognize such a sale, even if the buyer, let's say, overpaid. Dovash ain't lo onah, it doesn't have any onah. And karka, we have halacha that there's no onah in karka. The Gemara is now a little bit unhappy about that, because what about avadim ushtaros? These are also categories of mamon, nami ein lem onah. There's no din onah. So, for example, let's say the buyer overpaid for an eved or for a shtar, then there's no way of being mevatel the mekach and nulling and voiding the mekach, the sale, based on the law of onah. And the Brisa says that Beis Din is only going to collect the Tashlumei Nezek from the Mazik's Nechosim Sheyesh Lahem Achrayus, which means Karka, and not Avodim and Shtaros. And if that be the case, we can't accept Rabba Bar Ula's interpretation of Shava Kesef, so Dovash is Shava called Kesef, and that includes anything that doesn't have Onah, because then you're going to say that the Tashlumei Nezek are collectible from Avodim and Shtaros, and in fact, what this price is maintaining is that's got to be Nechos B'Sheish HaMachrayis. That's only Karka, not Avodim and Shtaros. And the reason why Avodim and Shtaros are excluded from collecting Tashlumei Nezikin is because that's not called Achrayis. Achrayis is something that's stationary, that's always there, not something that's movable, that flies. There's no betichus on Avodim and Shtaros. Now, we might also mention here in this context, the Ramban has a famous shita that even though ain onah l'karkos, that means you don't have to pay onah and make up the difference in the case of karka. There's no bitl amekach, but nevertheless, there is a lav of onah that applies even to karkos. And according to this sheet of the Ramban, when we say that ain onah b'karkos, that is exeris hakosav. You know, even though he violates the law of onah, there's exeris hakosav that you cannot replace the money, force the ma'ana to pay back the mis'ana, the nis'ana, the differential. That's the Gzeres HaKosev of Eino No B'Karkos. The Rashbam in Bava Basra on Daf Samach Alfam Beis has an entirely different approach to this halach of Eino No B'Karkos. He's assuming that Karkos doesn't have a set price, and whatever the buyer is willing to pay for a piece of real estate, that's what he's willing to pay, and that is the value of the field, of the karka. And there is no No B'Mitzius, which means that there's no violation of any law. We're not dealing with a gzeres hakosav. Tosus himself in Bav Metzia seems to assume, like the Ramban, that the halach of Eino Nova Karkos is derived from a klat prat uklal. It's not some sort of external svara that karka has no price, but rather it's a gzeres hakosav. And in that sense, there would be a violation of the law. Now the Gemara says, Ela Omar Rava Bar Ula, another interpretation, hopefully a better one, of Shava Kesef is Dora Nikne B'Kesef. It means Karka, which can be, you can transfer ownership of Karka through Kesef, to the exclusion of Kinyani Metaltilin, like Mashiach Agba, etc. The Gemara says, but what about, again, the old Kashav Avodim Ushtaros Nami Nikne B'Kesef? Right, it means that Eved and Shtar is also a Dovra Nikne B'Kesef, and there's no Mashicha. Again, that the fact that there's no Mashicha in Eved, Rashi says, I don't know, says Rashi, the source for this halacha. In any event, Rashi is referring not to Eved, but to
shtar. Elomar Rav Ashi. So again, the same logic here is the Gemara's objection is that there is no collection of Tashlumin Ezekin from the Mazik's Eved or Shtar, even though Eved or Shtar fits the exact same description of Shavu Kesef, meaning Nikne Bekesef. Elomar Rav Ashi, what's Shavu Kesef? How is it interpreted as Karkos and exclusively Karkos, meaning not Avodim Ishtaris? Shavu Kesef Velo Kesef. The way you read it is Shava Kesef, a low Kesef, because the karka is worth money, but it's not similar to money. What does it mean? Everybody accepts Kesef, but Eina Mital tells me Mokom and Mokom. So admittedly, Rav Ashi is reading a lot into this Mishnah, because it's almost like a diuk. The Mishnah says Shava Kesef. It should say the Brisa says Shava Kesef. And the Brisa says, what does Shava Kesef mean? It means, Ein Beznes Kokin El Nechosim means Karka. Now, how does Shava Kesef mean Karka? I mean, obviously, Shtarol Savonim is also Shava Kesef. But the answer is, you have to add the word Velo Kesef. It's Shava Kesef, but it's not Kesef. Kesef is something that you can carry around with you wherever you go and use it to transfer ownership and buy things and sell things. But in the case of Karka, Kaka cannot be moved from one place to the other. It's antithetical to Kesef. Vahani Kuli, but all the other Metalton, and even Avodim and Shtaris included, Kesef Ninhu, they are similar to Kesef because you can take them from one city to another. And it's very easy to get a buyer because, you know, you offer him the Eved, and he looks at the Eved, and he decides to buy it. Show him the Shtar. In the case of Kaka, on the other hand, that's not so easy. You can't just take the karka and show it, you know, the sampling, you know, take a sample of my karka and then decide whether you want to buy it or not. You're going to have to sell it right here, what we call in Yiddish Afinart. It's a whole different quality than Avodim and Shtaris, which can be moved around and transported such that you can show the lokeach what he's buying and sort of entice him to buy it. In that sense, that mobility and that ability to take it around this way and that way, that is exactly what makes Kesef Kesef. And Avodim and Shtaris has that ability, has that quality, not Karka. The Gemara says, Rami le Rabbi Yehuda bar Chinina, le Rav Huna braid Rabbi Yeshua Tana. In the Brisa that we had before, we had Shavu Kesef Alamich, Ein Is Kokim, Ein Bezin Is Kokim, Elan Achasim Sheish Lamachrayus, which means karka. But Tanya, we have a different brisa that darshins the pasuk in the parsha of Bar, where it says Bala Bar Yishalim Kesef Yashiv Lebailov. What does Yashiv mean? It's an extra word in the pasuk. The pasuk would have been read without the word Yashiv, without any loss. And the answer is LeRabos Shava Kesef Afilu Subin. So what is it? Shava Kesef coming to tell you that Tashlum and Ezekin is only collected from the Chosim Sheish Lamachrayus, meaning Karka? Or are we saying that no, that Shava Kesef includes even Subin? Subin is certainly not Karka. So the Gemara answers, Hochav Mai Askinon B'yasme. The case that we're dealing with is Yisomim. Yisomim, who are called upon to pay on behalf of the Mazik, their father, the Mazik, and Bezgin is going to collect Karka, not Metaltalin. And why is that? Because Metaltalin is not Mishtabid Lebalchov, in the case of Yisomim. The Mazik himself, if he's alive, you can collect from him even Metaltalin, and that's the Ribui of Yashiv, and therefore you can collect even from Subin. So again, the Mishnah and the Brisa are talking about Yisomim, and therefore it's Karka and only Karka from the Yisomim. Frekta Gemara I b'yasmi emas sefer. What do we do with the sefer of that same Brisa? Im kodam nizak v'tofas metaltalin bezin govin lo mehem. We said that if the nizak took the initiative and he grabbed onto metaltalin, that is going to be evaluated qua as tashlumi nezek v'ibiyasmi amai bezin govin lo mehem. If we're talking about a case where the Mazik himself died and the Nizak has, you know, has to come on to collect from the Mishubadim of the Yisomim,
then why would it be meaningful for these for the Nizak to grab the metaltalin of the Somim? There's no Shibud on the metaltalin. And the Gemara answers, Kida Omar, Rava Omar of Nachman, in Masechta Ksubis, there's a case where Tfisa works, and that is Shetofas Mechayim, that the Nizak, before the Mazik died, grabbed on to metaltalin. And that was, again, in a different sugya. But the Gemara wants to use that ukimta of Rava from Ksubis and apply it here. Hachanami here also, he could give that answer. Shetofas, that the Nizak went ahead, and while the Mazik was still alive, he grabbed metaltum from the Mazik Mechayim. And in such a case, we use these metaltalin that are now being possessed, grabbed by the Nizak as compensation for the Tashlume Nezek. The Mishnah says, Bifnei Bezdin. The Gemara understood in the Havamina that this means that the karka from which Bezdin is gover from the Mazik has to be in front of Bezdin. In other words, the Mazik has to have possession over the karka. Lafuki prat lemocher nechasav yakach holich lebezdin. Let's say the Mazik would have sold this property, and then the Mazik and the Nizak go to Bezdin, and since the Mazik sold this property, Bezdin cannot collect from the Lekuchos. That's how the Gemara understands this halacha b'fnei Bezdin. Ishma mina lava umachar nechas v'yakach bole bezdin ain bezdin govelomahem. If a person borrows money and then he sells all his possessions and he's left with absolutely nothing for the malva to collect from, bezdin's not going to be collecting from the lekuchos. Now, that's impossible because we know, and this is a clear-cut halacha that's unquestionable, that the Malva could collect his chov from Lekuchos. And here, Tosvis, Dibra Maskel Shoma, asks me, Ronifshach, if the chov of the Nezek is considered a Milva Ksuv Batorah, then it's Ksuv Bishtar Dami, and therefore it's collectible from Mishubadim. Gemara didn't have to stretch its arm out to Halva and Milva in order to ask this kasha. Gemara could have asked kasha from Dinei Nezikin. Why does it have to be Bifnei Bezdin as opposed to collect it from the Lekuchas of the Mazik? Actually, the Nizak has rights to collect from the Lekuchas of the Mazik because Milva Aksuva Bishtar and Milva Aksuva Torki Milva Bishtar Dami. If on the other hand, the Chov of Nezikin is considered a milv bal peh, and therefore it's not going from lekuchos. So why did the Gemara ask about lava umachar lo yigve mi lekuchos? That in fact is the din. And Rabbi Nitam, based on these this mimonavshach, is going to reinterpret the whole sugya that the Gemara's kasha here is according to those amoraim at the end of Bava Basra who maintain the shibud doraisa and in a Torah, even in the case of milv bal peh, you could collect from lekuchos. The Rabbanim made a takana not to force the Lekuchas to cough up this karka that they bought in order to pay the chov of the mocher, because there's no kol in this halva. The Lekuchos can't be careful about this when they go ahead and they buy karka. They don't know that the seller is a lover, that he has an outstanding debt. And that logic, lechora, should apply only in the case of halva, but not in the case of nezikin. In the case of halva, where the lover is trying to hide the fact that he borrowed money, nobody should know it, otherwise they won't buy his karka. In the case of the Zikin, where the Mazik was not deliberate in his hezek, and therefore there will be a kol. It's not lashon hara, so to speak. We're not spreading bad rumors about the Mazik. The Mazik wasn't Mazik b'kavana. The Mazik was even perhaps unaware of the hezek that took place. The Nezek will have a kol. And that's what bothers the Gemara. Why can't you collect from the Lekuchas? The Takana to protect the Lekuchas should not apply here in the case of someone who purchased the land from the Nizak, because the Lekuchas knew very, from the Mazik, excuse me, because the Lekuchas were very well aware of the Hezek. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Why is this din that there's no collection for the Lekuchos in Ezekiel? That's how Rabbeinu Tam interprets this sugya. Ella, so the Gemara now goes back to explain the Mishnah in a different way. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that it's got to be b'fnei Bezdin? And we're talking now about Dine Knossos, Prat LeBezdin Hedyotos. The halacha is that you need a bezin shel mumchin in order to collect knossos. And a bezin shel hadyotos is not authorized to judge and force someone to pay a knas. Now, again, our mission is talking about dini mominus. We're not talking about knossos. So why do you need mumchin over here? Why does it mean bezin shel mumchin and not bezin shel hadyotos? But the answer is that if you go like Rav, our mission is referring to Karen, and the fact that a short tam pays chatzi nezek, that's not called mum, and that's called knas. And therefore the mission says that we cannot judge this chiyuv for Karen, in the case of tam, unless we have a bezdin shel mumchin. That's not going to help us for Shmuel, who says the Mishnah completely omitted Karen, and therefore we don't understand this phrase of alpi bezdin, treating Nezikin as knossos. Where's the knas over here? So that's going to be the discussion here in the Mefarshim. Al pi edim, the Mishnah says that Nezikin can only collect through edim. Prat lemodu b'knas v'yakach bo edim. Shupoter. Let's say a person came into Bezdin and he admits that his short tam was no geach. And that's called a knas. He has to pay chatzi nezek knas. And the answer is that since there were no edim here, we're only relying on his confession, he's potter, because that's a special din of modu b'knas potter. The Gemara says, "Anich leman diom modu b'knas yachkach bo edim potter, leman diom modu b'knas yachkach bo edim chayev mai ikal and meimar." I mean, there is a situation in which the edim come later. Our Mishnah seems to be assuming the edim have to come before his hodah. Otherwise, if Hodah came first, that's a poteres, and there's no chiv to pay damages. But why not assume that the Hodah came, but then the Edim came afterwards? Don't tell me absolutely that it's got to be LP Edim, that the Edim have to come first. The Gemara says that Enochinami, according to this opinion, the Akach Bo Edim is Chayav. There's no chiddush really in our Mishnah. Seifa Itzterchlei, the real chiddush of our Mishnah is in the Seifa, and here turning to Tezvavim and Aleph, it says, B'nei Chorin u'B'nei Bris. In other words, the Edom have to be Jews, they have to be free. B'nei Chorin l'mute avadim, B'nei Bris l'mute ovdei kochavim utzricha. And the Mishnah had to tell me that both these categories of psuliedus are excluded, a goy and an eved kanani. Diashmin, if we only had the psul of eved, mishum di ein lo yachas. Aval nochi di eish lo yachas. In other words, the son is related to his father. Eim lo, maybe he's not psuliedus. The Iashmi Ina Nachri, if the Mishnah had only told me to exclusion of Nachri, that's because Lo Shach B'Mitzvahs. He has no Shaykhs to Kedushas Yisrael. Aval ever the Shaykh B'Mitzvahs, he has a Miktas, a partial Kedushas Yisrael, Eim Alo. I might think that he's not possibly Yedus Tricha, and the Mishnah has to say both. Okay, we'll stop here.